Hey, you guys, welcome to our new podcast, Massacre. I'm Rinchel, and this is your co-host,
Kyle. Today, we're going to be talking about American Horror Story, Hotel Cortez, Empire, and How to Get Away with Murder.
And we'll also be bringing you some hot topics from the week and just a question segment so you guys can write in and just ask us some questions about the shows. So we're going to go ahead and get the show started after this break.
So this week in real life horror stories.
Obama slaying Kanye. He said to Kanye about the POTUS or peasy thing, he gave him 3 pieces of advice, the last one being, do you think this country is going to elect a black guy from the south side of Chicago with a funny name to be president of the United States? That is crazy, that's cray.
Well, I mean, Obama would know. Chicago, you know, they're not gonna... I don't even know why Kanye thinks that he would be a good president. He doesn't get along with others. He knows nothing about actual politics. All he knows is that George Bush doesn't like black people. And that's about it. So I don't know why he thinks that, even if it's just a joke, why anyone would believe that he would actually do it.
Yeah, it would be pretty interesting to hear what he had to say in debates. What is he going to run as?
I don't know. Probably independent. Probably make his own party. Yeezy.
Yeezus.
Yeezus party.
Peasy.
Peasy. My beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy, the party.
Yeah, that was the second piece of advice. He said saying you have a beautiful, dark, twisted fantasy that's what's known as an off message in politics. You can't say something like that, he said.
Well, I mean, he can't. Kanye is, he thinks he's brilliant because he goes on these rants. And I'm not even going to say that he's not brilliant, but there's nothing about Kanye that will be electable. You don't have a great past. You have outbursts in the media every other week. You are a recording artist. Foreign policy would just not work for you because the diplomats of other countries would not take you seriously. Your wife has a sex tape, and that's why she's famous. None of that will work. So I just don't know how far he's going to go with this. But hey, Donald Trump is still going with it, so I guess Kanye can go with it.
Yeah,
even though
they're still going to make their money and by just appearing and speaking.
Exactly.
So, I mean, he's going to gain money off of it if he decides to do it.
Well, okay, so speaking of Kanye,
we forgot one of his most memorable achievements.
Oh, his fashion?
His fashion.
So, this week, Kanye said that he's being discriminated against in the fashion industry because he's not gay. And my whole thing is, you can't say that you're being discriminated against for a group that is constantly discriminated against. Your fashions are fucking ugly. There's no reason that anyone would want to buy your homeless people's sweatshirt that's tattered and it costs $2,000. I mean,
and it's in 3 different.
What is it? Green, black,
army green, tan, and black and white. Like,
is it in white?
I don't know. That was just hopeful.
Yeah, I mean, you know, it's really hopeful that he would come to terms that he's never going to be a fashion icon. It's not going to happen.
It's not going to happen, and it's not because of his sexuality.
I just don't understand what he thinks his sexuality is preventing him from. They've already given him a fashion show. They've given him his editorials. What is her name? Anna Wintour actually came to his show. The editor of Vogue, who basically says what's fashion and what's not fashion.
Because so, Kim's selling their magazines now.
Well, I mean, you know, that's America's first family now, apparently.
Yeah.
Well, speaking of people who should probably not speak anymore, are not black but American favorite actress, Raven Simone. She is a co-host on The View for whatever reason, but she decided to open her mouth and say that she would never hire anyone to work for her that has a ghetto name, and she used the example of Watermelon Drea, which I've never heard personally in my life, but that was her example of a ghetto name that she would not hire. So my whole problem with this is basically, Raven, you're on TV and you're not only promoting racist stereotypes by thinking that anyone's name would be Watermelon Drea and implying that that would basically be a black person. You are someone who has an unconventional name and someone who mainstream culture would say, oh, that name looks ghetto. So how can you sit there and say, oh, you know, I would never hire someone with a ghetto name, when someone's hired you? Let's bring you back to reality. Raven, your black lipstick and your cock-a-doodle-doo hair, you would never be hired by a company anyway, regardless of your name. So you need to realize that someone's name has nothing to do with their ability. Lose your seat and get off of my television screen every day. Do you have something to say about this, Kyle?
I think that she always opens her mouth lately and just should just stick her foot in her mouth. That everything she says is pretty stupid. I understand that you have to go to work and put out an opinion, but like whenever it's in a group especially that you're a part of, then it doesn't sound like the best idea to belittle them. I understand that some people are making her defense that is she's just is just joking and just trying to point out reality of the situation, but really you're just propelling it by putting on your own racist comments on it.
But here's my thing. I don't even understand what her point was. So basically, you're telling companies that they shouldn't hire people with unconventional names, but someone hired you. And not only that, your girlfriend, your rumored girlfriend, her name is As Marie or whatever. So you wouldn't hire your own girlfriend? That can be considered ghetto name. Someone's opinion on what's ghetto depends on the person or not. So it just doesn't make sense for me that she would even say that. But, you know, Raven's just been going on this downward spiral of ridiculousness and stupid things that she could come up to say. You know, she thinks there's several continents in Africa, so...
Yeah, and she also said that, you know, that she wasn't considered herself an activist for the gay community because she learned from the real gay activist and she can only do what she can. Well, bitch, I'm sorry to just let you know, but you were not even alive at the beginning of the gay activist. You didn't learn from the real or the first gay activist. You weren't alive. You're named after a bird. Are you really talking about people with ghetto names?
And then your name is hyphenated, first of all, which is a big no-no. There's an unnecessary accent mark because we know how to say Simone without the stupid accent mark. It's spelled wrong. Like, everything about your name is just wrong. So how do you sit there and tell... I mean, as someone who has a name that's not common, that personally affected me, and it affected a lot of people because a lot of people are just done with her. You know, they gave her chances after she said she wasn't black and she doesn't know the difference between a continent and a country. But
She wasn't gay. Don't call her gay. She's not gay.
Oh, yeah, she's not gay either. She'd rather just be an American. I mean, I'm all about not labeling someone, but don't be stupid and sit here and say that no one should consider you black. We can look at you and tell that you're black, Raven. I mean, someone can't change their name to just appease you and think that... First of all, who are you hiring that you wouldn't even need to consider someone with a ghetto name? What are you hiring for, Raven? Because you don't have a damn gig. You're just on The View every day. So the only thing you could be hiring is a personal assistant.
I'm all for them just moving The View to just freaking Whoopi's own show.
How about they just move it to Off the Air?
Yeah, Off the Air.
And Whoopi just goes back to acting.
And acting. All right. Moving on from Raven, we're going to go into some of the shows this week.
So we're going to go ahead and get started with our first show discussion. Up first, we're going to be discussing American Horror Story Hotel. Hotel Cortez. So just so you guys know, during these show discussions, we will be having spoilers. So if you're not caught up to the most recent episode, just go ahead and continue to listen and spoil yourself. Self, not shelf. But yes. So I'll go ahead and let Kyle get started with the discussion about American Horror Story.
Okay, so we're just going to break down for you all the kind of the plot line and keep the discussion going from there. It opened, you see the outside of the hotel, and we have the two Swedish actresses walking in, one of which we know is Helena Mattsson.
Mm-hmm.
They walk up and we meet Kathy Bates' character, Iris. You know, they don't want to stay there, and they, you know, go to their room. And I guess this is one of the first questions I have for you is they're... One of them, the one that's not Helena, right, goes to get the ice. Is that right?
I think
she goes to get the ice, and we see this hand come up behind her and almost grasp her hair and her turn around, and nothing's there. So maybe we can touch on that later, but I have a question how that is.
I didn't understand that part either.
So
we'll go ahead and just continue to intro it. But I want to say this one thing. So when they checked into the hotel, they checked into the hotel and then they ring the bell twice. And then she's just like, oh, I heard you the first time. Well, could you come the first time?
Yeah.
Well, like, don't get mad.
You were back there with Liz Taylor?
Well, maybe. Mm-hmm. Anywho.
Okay. They go back to their room, right, and they smell something, and they go to the mattress, they rip it open, and some man comes out of it.
Looking like a meth head from the Tennessee Hills.
Yeah. So then that immediately after, they cut to credits there.
Yeah, the credits are kind of creepy.
Yeah.
But I always feel like that's the creepiest part of every season, except for Freak Show.
Yeah, but Freak Shows was interesting, but the thing that gets me is the Ten Commandments. We have the Ten Commandments killer that we'll get to later, but they're flashing them out of order and everything, and I don't know if that's just to throw you off or if that's going to be any kind of clue as to how the murders are happening. Because I know the first one was respecting the mother and father, but so I don't know if that has something to do with kidnappings.
I don't know. I guess I didn't pick up on it, but I didn't understand how that first killing had to do with respecting the mother and the father. Never mind. Got it. Just got it.
Okay. So then after the credits, the kids go. The girls go. This is the biggest question I just don't understand.
Okay.
They get a different room from Kathy Bates after she's already told them there's no available rooms.
Mm-hmm.
Why, if you saw somebody crawl out of a mattress, would you want a different room? I wouldn't even want to talk to the front desk lady who was just a bitch to me. I would leave.
And you know, their whole excuse was, well, we don't have the money. Well, I'm going to need you to Western Union someone at home and tell them to send y'all some money, because if someone crawls out of a mattress and they smell like death and decay, I'm not staying there.
Yeah, and if the hotel employee isn't worried about it and they just move you to another room,
which they said was not available.
Yeah, that's not available. I don't know. Sometimes these red flags are just too much for me to get past while I'm watching the episode.
But you know, I feel like that with a lot of horror stuff because the people are so stupid. But
yeah, and a lot of times it's like comical, like they're falling down, running and shit.
Yeah.
But when you have an option, you're going to stay the night there?
You can go find another hotel. In Los Angeles?
Yeah.
You can't find another hotel?
Sure. Okay. So after those dumb actresses, they flash to Detective, which is Wes Bentley's character.
Mm-hmm.
And he's inspecting a murder scene where the tongue and eyes have been cut out and left in the ashtray, and the guy's like speared to this girl in a headboard.
Yeah, and what is it? They're glued together in their sexual position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And the thing I found interesting and caught on was how he said the crime scene had already been investigated. And he said, not by me, it hasn't. And he knew immediately when he walked in exactly what he was looking at and what they had done. I don't know if it's suspicious or maybe this guy, he's more familiar with the person that's doing it than he can think. But he definitely knew what had happened immediately.
Hmm. I didn't even think about that. Well, we'll see. Maybe we have another Dr. Oliver Threadston.
Yes, I didn't even think of that, but that totally goes on with my theory. Oh my god.
Okay, well, we'll discuss that.
We have to
that.
Get to it. Okay.
Okay. Well, what's the next scene?
After that, he goes to the police station, and his daughter is calling him, and then he gets another call he rejects, and as he's leaving, the person calls him and lets them know they have already, that they did that and they're going to do it again, and mentions room 64 at Hotel Cortez.
Well, okay, and I forgot about the phone calls, so maybe it's not him that's doing it, but I don't know.
Right.
We'll see.
After that, it goes to Max Greenfield's character, and he's checking into the hotel. Iris puts him in room 64, so that is just the room that the killer has called and said he's in. So I guess we'll see how that connects later. But we see that Sarah Paulson's watching him, and it flashes to him shooting up. And the first person he sees when he's flashing back is the maid.
Mm-hmm. And the laundress.
The laundress. And she's saying, is that Mayor Winningham?
Yeah, that's her.
Oh,
Mayor
wow.
Winningham.
Okay. Mm-hmm. I didn't know that was her. But
it didn't look like her, but that's her character, I assume, because they were like, it's the laundress, and I saw her in the credits, so I guess that was her.
Okay. So, she's saying that she can get anything clean, blah, blah, blah.
Mm-hmm.
After that, the addiction demon is introduced, and he starts raping him.
With his conical dildo.
Yes, which is gold. And we did learn that
was it gold?
It was gold, and that in one of the previous murders, the tapes that the detective asked for, the guy has gold chips in his anal cavity, so somehow that's connected.
Mm.
Not the murder he inspected, but another previous murder that he saw.
Yeah, the one with the picture, right?
Right.
Yeah.
So, as that's going on, it shows the detective come into the hotel, and Iris automatically knows he's a cop. And he wants to go to room 64, and Liz Taylor takes him up there.
Can I just interrupt you for 1 second and tell everyone how disgusted I was with that scene with Max Greenfield being raped?
Yeah.
I don't know why I was so... obviously I know why, because it's rape, and it was by some demon, but it just really, to me, it went on too long, and it was really awkward with Sarah Paulson, like, say you love me, say you love... Like, bitch, I'm being raped.
Yeah.
Like, and I don't know you.
And they said that she's supposed to be the yin to that yang and, like, soothe him through the process because she's been an addict and knows the, you know, what he's going through. But at the same time, like, it was a little much with her just sitting there not even worried that he's being raped.
But you know, before that, we didn't learn about her not being alive.
Right.
So
O'Hare takes him to the room. Mm-hmm. And I think that was one of my favorite quotes of the show, was that when he was walking away and held his hand out for the tip, and he told him he didn't have cash, and he was like, money isn't everything. Mm-hmm. I don't know. I just like Dennis O'Hare's character in this. We meet Gaga and Bomer's character, Elizabeth, and
what is his name? I don't know. Matt Bomer. Iris's son. I really don't know his name. I didn't pick up on it.
Donovan, wasn't
Donovan,
it?
Donovan,
yeah.
Yep.
That's what she called him. Okay. Yeah, so we meet Elizabeth and Donovan's character, Gaga, Bomer.
Mm-hmm.
It's all silent, like, the music's playing. Yeah, so they go and pick up a couple of movies.
Can you tell this was Kyle's favorite part?
Yeah. I'm just trying to skip through this. So they pick him up at the movies, they go back to have sex with him, and they slit their throats and drink their blood. So that's that scene. Do you have anything to add to it?
I just would like to say, personally, that I was not affected by that scene, having watched all of True Blood and seen that done several times. That's not supposed to be, you know, anything to say, but I've seen that done before.
Yeah, I saw it done in a lot of her music videos, so, you know, like, if I was going to put a musician and put them as an actor in a show, the first 6 minutes
especially
of them being,
such a diverse show that can go anywhere.
Yeah, you could have any dialogue. He said it was going to be silent movie-like. It was more like a music video because that's what you've seen her in exactly. before you've ever seen the show. So, that's the only opinion I have on it. Whatever. I guess they thought they were clever to introduce them as that bloodthirsty people, but okay.
I thought it was fine until they actually got to the sex scene. Like, when they went to the movies and they found the couple, I thought it was cool. Like, it was nice introduction, but when they went to the commercial and then came back and it was still silent and they were doing that, I was just like, okay, this is not cool anymore.
Yeah. Then it goes to Bentley's character going home. The detective, and we meet Chloe Sevigny's character, Alex, and, I don't know, I guess, you know, they just, the normal thing, she's Maddie's late, blah, 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 but the one thing I found kind of odd is the scene starts with him just sitting in the car outside their house, like, staring for a long time, just staring off into the distance. I don't know why.
He probably... I get the sense that they have, like, a really strained relationship, so he probably was just contemplating, like, going in there, really thinking, like, I already know she's about to start, so.
Yeah. After their scene, it goes to the girls tied up with Iris, and she's, like, trying to flush their system and make
Once
their
again,
blood pure.
I've seen this on True Blood.
Paulson comes in and stops them, and then she releases one of the girls. But throughout that, when Iris is leaving, she says she has to go feed the thing in room 33. And we're supposed to find out what that thing is next week. So, who knows?
Do I even want to know?
I don't know. And she also says when she leaves, fine, you're going to have to explain to her why they taste like shit. So I guess she is doing this working for Gaga. So when they let the... Sarah Paulson lets her go. She runs through the hotel. Kathy is running real slow. She can't catch up to her.
She can't.
It's so sad.
Running like Lawrence Fishburne in that last Superman movie.
Oh, but she runs right to Elizabeth. She cuts her throat and lets her know it shouldn't happen again.
Now, I will say that's when I started to enjoy Lady Gaga's character.
When she actually got to speak.
Yeah. And it was just really funny.
It goes back to Jackson and the daughter. He gets a text from Alex saying help. And they go investigate this house. The daughter walks in and she goes to this other side of the house. And they see... She sees two men tied up with their insides hanging out. And he comes running back in the room.
Now I'm interested to hear your theory about this. Because okay. I just got a revelation, kind of. Well, I might have to develop my own theory. Depending
on what
it
might be the same as mine.
Well, we'll see.
But I'm pretty sure it's good. It's a good one. Okay.
Okay.
Then it goes... It shows a flashback scene, Santa Monica, 2010, that shows their son Holden getting kidnapped at a carnival.
And he's... odd looking.
He already has the white hair, so he had already developed that hair then, so I guess they knew he was ready for the group, and they kidnapped him off the what is that called?
The blood children? I don't know. The merry-go-round.
Merry-go-rounds, yeah. And then it goes to the couple arguing to Alex and the detectives arguing. And the first thing that she says is, should I get a gun? And then he's like, no, I'm going to leave. I think it's better because they're coming after him. And she's like, okay, well, I'm sad because I just want you to go. So that's maybe a clue as into my suspicion on
the character. I feel like our suspicions are the same.
Yeah. Then it goes to... You cut to Marcy, back from season 1.
Yeah.
She's back, and she also mentions in her first line about the dog from season one. So she lets everyone know that she has had the dog. That's what happened to it.
So, what dog? I really don't remember.
The family's dog.
Oh, yeah, they did have a dog.
Yeah. Huh. But maybe I'm wrong, but didn't she say in it, I just had to put my dog down, it came to me through very unfortunate circumstances. So, dog's dead.
I don't want to talk about it. Well, why did you bring
it up? Why did you bring it up? No one asked. So I guess they had to get that in there. And then after that, she shows them Will Drake. So that's Cheyenne Jackson's character.
Mm-hmm.
And his son Lachlan, they're the new owners of the hotel. Iris has no idea about it. And they go up to the penthouse and meet Gaga and Bomer.
Mm-hmm.
She kind of just goes straight toward his kid. But she mentions that he's there to help with the decor. Even though he bought it, no one seems to know about it. And, he's there to change their decor for something.
Yeah. Well, hopefully it'll be updated and stop looking like the Great Gatsby. And, you know, one thing that I found interesting about what we read about Cheyenne Jackson's character and what it actually portrayed. They portrayed him as being very desperate, but he didn't seem very desperate.
Yeah. They said he's going to be desperate and that he's going to visit the murder house at some point this season.
For what?
They didn't say. But he hasn't come off desperate yet.
At some point during Murder House, didn't we see them giving like a celebrity tour of the murder house and saying like, oh, this is the famed murder house of Charles Montgomery and blah, blah, blah.
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe that'll be how he visits.
Just through the tour?
I don't know. But maybe. Who knows with this show.
Yeah. So they go to that penthouse, blah, blah, blah. And then she kind of goes straight to his son, Lachlan, and he stays to look at records. And she takes him to this room where there's all these kids with the white hair. And he actually meets Holden, the detective's son that is missing.
With his odd accent.
Yeah.
Hello.
He
sounds like Salad Fingers.
Yeah. after that, whenever Donovan's character's walking out, Iris stops him and, you know, is trying to ask him about what's going on and if he knows. And he tells her she needs to let go. And then it goes to his flashback, or her flashback, to 1994, where he's with Paulson, Hypodermic Sally, and
they're shooting up in a hotel room, and basically they get high together. She's smearing on some lipstick on her mouth, and then she's so high she just needs to smear it onto her cheek.
Yeah.
and then Iris comes up and knocks on the door and basically is looking for Donovan, and Sarah Paulson she really just doesn't care. She's basically irrelevant to her because she's high and she doesn't care about this kid that she's met. And, you know, it is implied that her and Iris have this really strained, like, really hateful relationship to each other. So we find out that's pretty much why they don't like each other. Because I guess Iris blames Sarah Paulson's character for getting her son addicted to drugs. But I don't.
Is he dead in bed? Is he dead or is he just, like, knocked out? Because she says he's cold, blah, blah, blah. So does that mean he's dead there and that he really did OD and she just has no care?
I don't know if he's... I don't know. Because, you know, some people overdose and they, like, get close to death and they come back.
But you can't tell, and the way that he's telling Iris in the scene before the flashback, you just need to let go, kind of implies that he's has no choice but to be in the hotel because he's dead.
So, okay, we're going to get into that because that's one thing I want to discuss about this whole season so far.
Okay. And after that, she walks down the hallway and sees a window open, and she goes to it for some reason. I guess she's just high. She's looking out the window, and Kathy Bates comes behind her and pushes her down.
Which was my favorite part of the episode, mind you, because it was just so funny to me.
Yes, and she finally died.
Yep, Sarah Paulson has finally died on a season of American Horror Story. Mind you, the day before this came on, I text Kyle and I was like, I bet you she's going to die in the first episode. And there she's the ghost.
There she died. In the last scene, it cut to the detective coming, you know, leaving home. It showed him leaving them in Hotel California's plane. Which I guess that actually started before.
Yeah, I think it started when she pushed her out the window.
It started, mm-hmm. Yeah. And then it keeps playing, and he checks into the Hotel Cortez, and then he, as he's sitting on the bed that he's checked into, it cuts off with the line in Hotel California saying you're never going to leave. Is that
you
right?
Can check in. You can check out, but you can never leave.
You can never leave.
Yeah, and the funny thing about that is I was watching this with my mom, and she was like, I bet they're going to play Hotel California. This reminds me of Hotel California, blah, blah, blah. And then, of course, they played it, and yeah. I was like, dang it. Yeah. I didn't want her to be right, but yeah, she was. So, okay, so since we're done with our recap of the show, let's go ahead and get into our theories and questions. So, Kyle, what is your theory about the Ten Commandments killer?
I think that it is Alex.
Okay, that's the theory that I was talking about when we were going over it, because it would make sense.
I mean, they text from her number. She tried to act surprised. The first thing she says is, should I get a gun? Mm-hmm. I mean, not that it's that, but she's been scorned. She's had her kid taken. Her husband's never home. She's a doctor.
So she knows how to...
She knows how to remove these organs.
Organs and disembowel people.
Just like... That. And when you said that Dr. Thredson thing, I was like, oh my God, yes. Because I was already thinking Alex, but I completely forgot that she's a doctor.
Yep.
So I think that it could be Alex, and that's her way of communicating to her husband. And I think she might be on, you know, just trying to get revenge for having her kid kidnapped, but trying to figure out who it is. Yep. Doing more of... I mean, she seems already that she's like the authoritative figure over... The detective.
I agree.
Even in the flashback, she tells the daughter, like, look at it, hold it, imagine it, and then, like, throws the thing and pops the balloon. It just seems like she has a really dominating presence. And we all know she's a really good actress and always plays a crazy bitch. So could there be some kind of time fuck with these clocks, which is what I'm going to ask you, and that she... All this shit is happening before she's in the asylum? Or could she have been in the asylum and then this is happening? Just a
question. Oh, so you think that her character is connected to her character in the asylum?
I hope that all these seasons... Like, I understand some of the connections are happening because of, like, different people are entering in certain seasons. But if at least one character was the same person throughout all the seasons, I'd be satisfied.
I think it will make a lot of sense if the character is connected back to Asylum more than if they connect it back to anything else. Because, yeah, I just feel like that would be the season to connect it to, because they can just use the excuses like, oh, they're crazy, so they're having these visions or just whatever. Because anything else, the way that they made it seem when they said that all the seasons are going to be connected... They made it seem like there's going to be this, like, grand connection. Like, once we get to the final season of American Horror Story, that it's going to all make sense how they're connected. But it seems like right now we're just getting a bunch of, like, little connections to everything.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I'll be interested to see how it all connects eventually.
So is that who your first guess is for the Ten Commandments killer at this moment?
Yep, and just now thinking about it, that we just both guessed that, it makes me feel like that's not it.
Yeah, I mean, it could be something to do with him, too, I think. I mean, the
I
fact that he walked in and knew, and he still wants to investigate these things to make sure that they're, you know, like, that the police are notifying, or, like, notating them correctly of why the person did this. Yeah. Makes me think he could have something to do with it, but I don't think it's him.
Yeah. Yeah, I think it definitely has to do with them. I don't think it's not connected from them, but I do think it is Alex, maybe.
Okay, the next question I have is dealing with the time and clocks, how they were moving backwards as Greenfield's character was getting raped.
Yeah, I definitely think that that is a parallel to the first season, because I remember during Murder House, during a certain time of the night, I can't remember what time it was, something would always happen. So this just leads me to another point that I wanted to make about this episode. There are several parallels, and it seems like there's going to be several parallels to the first season in this first episode. Mainly the fact that we have characters who are dead and seem to be trapped in the hotel, just like they were trapped in the murder house.
Yeah.
And like you were saying, I'm not sure if Donovan is dead or not, but we know that Hypodermic Sally is dead so far. And then, like you were saying, when the Swedish actresses were there and the one goes to get the ice, she sees the hand, which appears to be the same claws that Lady Gaga wears.
Yeah, and he wears them too, though. He wears a glove just like it, so...
Oh, well, maybe it is him. Maybe he's the one that is dead.
But, yeah, so I guess that's the last question I have. Or not really the last, but one of the questions around that is, who do you think all is dead?
I don't think that Lady Gaga's character is dead. I don't think she's dead. Well, I guess he wouldn't be dead either, because he left the hotel with her. He goes in and out as he pleases. Maybe Iris is the one that's dead.
Yeah, maybe so. For some reason, I was thinking they were both dead, but now that you said that, I don't think they are, because they need this blood. If they were dead,
exactly,
they wouldn't need the blood. So maybe she just gets with him after he's, you know, she's on top of him, and she's talking about his jawline, which was ad-libbed. Congratulations. So
hold on, what part was Adam
when she was like, his this boy's jawline. When she's like on top of him like a spider and Iris comes back in the room. He has a jawline for days. She ad-libbed that, so she, you know, Oscar winner. But she, maybe she's hooked up with him and gave him this blood virus that she has when he's knocked out, or when he comes back and she saved his life. Maybe Iris is dead.
Maybe. Maybe Sarah actually pushed her out of the window.
Yeah. Or maybe they both fell.
Or, yeah.
Or Sarah pushed her later, because doesn't she say something about...
Because there's no reason as a ghost that she couldn't have pushed her out the window as well.
At one point, she did say she had never met the owner. Remember when the real estate agent's talking to her, when Marcy's talking to her, and she's like, I wouldn't know, I've never met the owner. Well, we know that she has just talked to Lady Gaga, so is she... I don't know, that just kind of confused me. Is she just trying to cover to not make it seem like that, or...
Is she dead? Personally met her?
Yeah.
Who knows?
So, I know after they walk through, the real estate agent, she's talking to Liz Taylor, and doesn't she say we're going to be turned out onto the streets? So does that suggest that they're the only two alive, or the only two dead of the bunch? Because how could they be turned onto the streets if they're stuck there?
I don't know. But I really don't know. It's really confusing, and I think they're trying to confuse us on purpose right now. But I do think that Sally's dead, because she has the connection with the demon somehow. But I don't doubt that Iris is dead as well. And I don't doubt that there's more dead characters in it. But my whole thing with that is, you know, it is a direct parallel to the first season with our dead characters causing a lot of trouble for the alive characters, and you don't know who's dead and who's actually alive. But my whole thing with that is we're rehashing what we've already seen. And not even what we've seen from different shows, we're rehashing what we've seen on this show. Which might end up being a connection, because Marcy is, you know, the one that sells the house and sells the hotel. Which I think is interesting, because what if she's the one that has something to do with this whole connection? Because could it not be shown that she's the one that sells the school to the coven? She's the one that sells the asylum to the Catholic Church. She's the one that finds the freak show for Elsa. I mean, I feel like that would be a cool connection to make, to make them all connected. And she's really like the devil or something.
Right.
So, who knows?
She is the devil.
I mean, I wouldn't be surprised.
She was on Desperate Housewives. She was the lead problem of, or the beginning of every single problem they had.
Really?
Yeah.
Huh. Well,
the main character shoots herself and commits suicide because her character is blackmailing
her. The lady that narrates it?
Mary Alice, yeah. And it's all because Marcy's character was blackmailing her. And she couldn't take it. I don't know. Maybe she's just the devil in all the shows that she's in.
Well, maybe. I just think there's something to be said that she's made an appearance from the first season and this season as well. So, we'll see. But do you have anything else to go ahead and say about this episode? So, how did you actually feel about the episode?
I'm excited to just see where all the plot lines are going. There's so many different ones, but I do see the connections to Murder House, and I hope that, I just hope that it gets better than the first episode. Not that it was bad, I just want to see the storylines develop further, so I know they will.
See, and that's one thing that I always feel about this show, is that people don't give the chance for the storylines to develop before they judge the season. Because I actually felt victim to that with Asylum. Because as we all know, the first episode of Asylum was really crazy. Kit gets kidnapped by the aliens, and then the wife ends up dead and all that. And it just didn't make any sense. But then it ended up being my favorite season of American Horror Story. So I just feel like it's going somewhere, but right now it's really scattered.
Yeah, I'm excited to learn all the things we're going to learn this week, especially as in who is in room 33.
Yeah.
What is the thing in there? And I can't wait for the Halloween episodes for Lily Rabe and the rest of the serial killers to make their appearance at dinner. So that'll be cool.
I just can't wait to see Angela Bassett.
Yeah. And hopefully she'll come next week, this coming week. But
I hope so.
I feel like they would have advertised that. Maybe they have. I haven't seen it.
The crazy thing is, though, that she's in the opening credits, but she still hasn't made an appearance. But that's the same as Freak Show,
too. We definitely meet Evan Peters. And she did come in the second episode of last season, so maybe she'll appear in the second episode again. But Evan Peters, we're definitely meeting this coming week as Mr. March. So that will be exciting. Stay tuned. We're going to go ahead and move on to a different show, Empire. Now we're going to go to our next show, Empire.
Awesome. So this is one of our shows that we're going to be discussing on this show as well. One reason that we're going to go ahead and get into this in the third episode is the original idea behind this podcast was that we were going to focus on American Horror Story, but Empire and our other show that we're going to discuss is, which is How to Get Away with Murder, they've developed so much, so we just decided to give all three shows equal balance in the show, if that makes sense to you guys. If it doesn't, oh well. So let's go ahead. We're going to do a quick recap for the first three episodes. We're not going to go over the full episode like we did for American Horror Story, but we're just going to touch on some topics from the episodes.
The first episode, Lucius is still in jail.
Yes, correct. And we see it open up with Cookie hosting the Free Lucius rally. Now, one thing that she does is come down in a cage in a gorilla suit and gives this whole speech about how black people in America are still treated as animals in cages. So, a lot of people thought that that was something that shouldn't have been touched on in that manner, because Cookie does come down in a gorilla suit when black people have been compared to monkeys for several years in this country. Personally, I would say that I wasn't really offended by it. I just didn't know why they couldn't choose a different animal, or why she couldn't just come in the cage as her person. She didn't really need to have the gorilla suit. It wasn't like, it wasn't predictable, like we didn't know that it was Cookie. So it was kind of pointless to me, and it just, I really think their purpose of it was to create buzz and to get people talking, especially since it was the first episode, and that was pretty much the beginning of the first episode.
And it's something that we see happening in our own culture in real life, so.
It was definitely to get buzz, but I just feel like they could have left the whole monkey thing out of it. But whatever.
One of the characters, Jamal, is now the face of Empire. And one of the things we were talking about was the first couple episodes, it seemed like he was really struggling to reach some of the notes.
His voice is so whiny. It's almost like Michael Jackson without, like, precision. It's just a lot of vibrato and a lot of ducking and dodging around the notes. And it really gets to the point that it's just unbearable to even fucking listen to. I personally would, well, you know, I would say I'd like to hear from someone else, but I don't want to hear Jamal's stupid rap. I mean, not Jamal, Hakeem's stupid raps either, so.
The one rap you did like, I think, was Terrence Howard's rap he wrote.
Oh, No Snitch Bitches?
Somehow recorded in jail, because that's
possible. That was pretty good. Did you know that one of his little prison mates is Petey Pablo?
Yeah. And apparently he owed him.
Yeah, he owed him money, so he gave him a spot on Empire. I don't understand how that worked, but whatever. So, speaking of Lucius being in jail, we were introduced to the character of Frank Gaddis, who was portrayed by Chris Rock. Frank Gaddis, as you know, is someone that Cookie was involved with in her past that started causing problems for her and apparently harassing her. So, she had one of her sister's kid's fathers kill someone associated with Frank Gaddis, so that just pissed him off to the point where he needed to interact with Lucius in jail.
Lucius didn't have any idea, though, what had happened.
He really didn't know, but he actually ended up killing Chris Rock's character in defense of Cookie, so we think. We never really saw Frank Gaddis actually dead, but we assumed it was show, but we don't know. So we'll see.
I really hope that he's not dead, just that he comes back, because in the most recent episode, we were finally introduced in real life to Frida, his daughter, who Terrence Howard wanted to sign. And he's still going after her, trying to get her to sign with him. But I'm excited to see if she eventually does sign with him, if that's going to be the perfect timing for Chris Rock to come back.
Exactly. Fantasia Wolf. Did you see those memes where they kept calling her Fantasia Wolf?
I didn't, but I did enjoy her original songs more than I do a lot of the people who are on this show.
I liked Hakeem's song this week, too.
Yeah, I enjoyed that. Was enjoyable. The one where he interrupted Terrence Howard's Lucius's party.
That was very enjoyable. I feel like for the first time he was actually talking about something instead of drip drops.
So. Yeah. And I thought it was pretty funny, too, whenever Terrence Howard announced that he had taken over the radio station, and then that did the little bear reference.
Yes, that was. He's very dirty. Lucius is just horrible. He's a horrible person.
I can take in the evilness a lot better this season without his douchebag facial hair and.
And his processed hair.
Yes.
His perm.
He looks so much like it looks so much more the character now, I feel like.
Yeah. I agree. But just getting back to something from the earlier episodes, and this is something that Kyle actually brought up. Does no one care about Vernon?
Yeah. What does no one in the family is even looking for Vernon. Only the police are. And they're not even trying too hard.
Yeah, and only it seems that Rhonda and Andre are the only ones that care, because Andre is shown having the dreams, because obviously they killed him. But it's just like, well, I guess since Lucius is in jail, I could see why no one would be concerned, because I don't think he was one of Cookie's favorite people, so I don't think she really cared. But you would think that with Jamal having to take the helm of the company, that he would be looking for him.
Yeah, I mean, they're making these board decisions and voting people in and out, and wouldn't you have to have one of the main board members there to... Or you would... It doesn't even show him questioning, like, hey, I wonder where my uncle is, who helps make these decisions, but...
Exactly.
You touched on Rhonda. Do you think that Rhonda really is pregnant? And if so, do you think that it's Andre's child?
I think she's pregnant, but I don't know. I don't remember. What was the conversation that she was having with Vernon before they killed him? I don't know. It could not be his child. And that brings us back to one thing we were discussing about their timeline. It seems like everything just jumps. And we're not really sure if it's a couple of days or if it's been months that things have taken place. And that's kind of something that throws you off and doesn't really make sense about the show. Because if it's been months and nobody's cared about Vernon, that makes no sense.
Yeah, I mean, they made it that point of Dre being in the church with Jennifer Hudson's character, but... You never really could tell how long he had been staying there. And that's this whole time that Rhonda's out away from him and not living there. So, I mean, she could have easily gotten pregnant in all that amount of time. But you can't tell, is that a few weeks or is that a few days?
Yeah, exactly. And, you know, he was pretty much falling in love with Jennifer Hudson's character. So maybe we'll find out this is something that she's pulling just to make him stay. But... We'll see eventually.
I mean, she's already proven that. I mean, she's determined to take a portion of that company. That's a large reason why she's with him.
Mm-hmm. So, one thing I do want to discuss that we might have missed over the past few weeks is that one of my least favorite people in the media wants Terrence Howard off of the show. That person happens to be the football player build, Wendy Williams. She really wants him off of the show because he has abuse allegations against one of his wives or ex-wives or someone. So she thinks that he needs to be off of the show for this. But my personal opinion is that I don't understand why that is such a big deal. Because it's not like he's playing some righteous character or someone who would be a role model. Lucius Lyons is one of the dirtiest people on the show, if not the dirtiest person. So it's not like it's someone who wouldn't even have abuse allegations on the show. It just doesn't make sense. You know, I feel like we should be able to separate people's personal lives from the work that they do. Because everyone else expects that in their life. But when you're a celebrity, you don't get that. And I just wish that Wendy Williams could find a way to shut up. I just don't understand. Did you have any opinions on that?
No, I concur with all of yours.
Okay.
There's not much to say else on it. That I don't really respect Wendy Williams. opinion, and I don't want him to be off the show unless his character, they make you hate his character, so at some points you do want him dead on the show, but not because of anything he's done in real life.
Exactly.
Speaking of Terrence Howard, how did you feel about Kelly Rowland playing his mother?
I mean, I felt like she did an okay job. We saw more of her in this most recent third episode than we did in the other episode where she popped up, which was the first episode or the second one? I don't know. It was whenever Andre
it was the first one.
Okay. Yeah, when Andre asked, why does Lucius hate him so much?
Yeah, I don't know. I don't want to comment bad on Kelly because I like Kelly a lot, but I appreciate what she has done acting wise. Do you think he is going to help him out? Help give him a job again now that he knows about his grandchild?
No, definitely not. Because when he was just like, that's great and all, but I can't believe that you're trying to use this to get my position back in the company.
Yeah.
That was something else.
I guess the only person we're not talking about so far is...
our favorite person.
Cookie.
Cookie and her outfits.
I really like her outfits.
Do you?
Yeah. How do you feel about them?
I think that they add to the character a lot. I just feel like they are perfect with the way that she acts and just... everything. The outfits are always just over the top, and she's always over the top, so I feel like it goes perfectly.
Yeah, the outfit that she wore to the party where Hakeem interrupted Lucius was a pretty great outfit.
You enjoyed that one? The rope chain outfit?
It was my favorite one from the season so far.
I enjoyed her pulling the dinner off the table.
Oh my gosh.
I feel like that's something I would do in real life, so...
Yeah, that moment was pretty great. Do you think that this Lion Dynasty is going to survive? That it's going to thrive without all her sons leaving it, I guess, other than Hakeem?
I feel like it'll be fine, actually. I feel like they're going to do just fine. And just the way that the previews made it seem, like, they actually do find some success, and then... Lucius is, like, scrambling to keep up. So, I think that they're actually going to succeed and that something's going to happen that's really going to make them pop off and really become a problem for him. Because it seems like now he just thinks he can buy his way into everything and just be able to surpass whatever Cookie's doing. But I feel like she's going to come up with a way to actually generate a lot of buzz outside of her taking over the show, a way to generate buzz and to actually generate a lot of money. So, we'll see, but I really do think she'll succeed. But I know that the preview for the next episode showed her in the cop car. So, will Cookie be making her way back to jail? And why do you think she got arrested?
I don't know. Maybe it's just that woman again.
The prosecutor?
Yeah.
Yeah,
but you
probably
can never tell.
I hope that she doesn't end up back in jail, but I wouldn't be surprised with them trying to keep the storyline going and just make it exciting each episode. I do feel like the third episode was better than the second episode. The second episode was pretty slow.
Yeah, it died down a little bit, but it definitely built it up, and I think it's gonna keep getting better. I hope that some old faces reappear this season.
Who?
Yeah, I kind of want Naomi Campbell to come back and visit.
Really?
And I really want to know who's going to pick up Courtney Love's character.
Oh, I
want
her to come back.
I
enjoyed her.
You know? What?
Yeah.
I could see maybe Cookie picking her up and making her part of this new
Lion
label.
Dynasty.
Especially if she finds out about... Anika.
Yeah, go dance for
go
Anita.
Go dance with her, Anita.
Oh, God.
But now Anita may be working for Cookie.
Is she working for Cookie, or is she working for Lucius, or is she working for herself?
I think she's working for herself, but they both think they're working. she's working for them.
But I feel like if she's working for someone more, I feel like she's working for Cookie more than she's actually working for Lucius.
I think she has respect for Cookie now. And because she would have never tried before that hard to get in Cookie's good graces unless she actually wanted her respect.
And I'm sorry if y'all hear me sniffing, but I'm having like an allergy problem. So y'all should just listen and then recommend some allergy medicine for me or Zyrtec. Something like that. No, just something Clear. Where you need to write in and use our email to send us some questions.
What is our email?
Oh, the email, I was going to say it at the end of the show, but the email is massacrepodcast@gmail.com. So if you guys know how to spell massacre and podcast and gmail.com, you should be able to email us.
Do it.
Yeah, you should. If you don't, still going to do it, but whatever.
Okay. Do we have anything else to add to the end of Empire?
I don't. Not really. There's not too many theories I have going on about the show. I feel like this show just goes in so many different directions, so I can't even theorize as to what's happening next.
Yeah, the only thing that sticks with me from this last episode is how he tells Jamal that he's going to produce his album. And I just don't believe any time that he actually wants to do anything good for Jamal. And I think that he just knows that Frida's going to sign with them and he wants to keep Jamal happy until he can produce her album. I don't think he cares about his album. He just wants Frida's album.
And they're not going to get along at all.
It's but if anything, work. She'll get along with Jamal.
Mm-hmm. Oh, God. I want to see Mary J. Blige back.
No.
You don't want to see Mary J.?
I guess.
You know who I don't want to see? My least favorite person now, Raven Simone. Yeah. I did enjoy her the first season, but now she can just stay gone and keep her little bastard child with her.
She can go hire somebody.
Yeah, well, you know, whatever. All right. So, we're going to take a quick break, and then we're going to go into the show discussion for How to Get Away with Murder. Okay, and our final discussion for you guys will be about How to Get Away with Murder, starring Viola Davis as Annalise Keating. New Emmy Award winner.
Yay.
Mm-hmm. Yay. We all knew that was going to happen as soon as she signed up for the show. Okay, so in the first episode, we find out who finally killed Rebecca, which is Wes's stupid girlfriend that was on trial. And we find out that it was Bonnie, the scorned ex-mistress of Sam, possibly. So apparently she goes down to Rebecca while she's in the basement, covers her mouth with the tape after taking it off for some reason, and goes ahead and
suffocates her
with a plastic bag.
But the one thing that they highlighted, I believe, in the first two, you know, the little preview what you miss trailers before the episode starts is a quote where Annalise is saying that you had to be strong to move the body underneath the stairwell. So she had just showed her walking up the stairs after they placed the plastic bag, or after she placed the plastic bag on the head, but it didn't ever show who moved her. So could that possibly mean that someone else is involved? And my theory, if there is someone involved, would be her only like main friend or boyfriend until this past episode would be Asher.
Yep.
And we've already been told, I guess, something has happened to this girl. What was her name? Tiffany?
Is Which that girl?
The girl at the lake.
What lake? Oh, Tiffany, yeah.
Tiffany, yeah.
The blonde girl that was on the cell phone where he's like, oh, dad, I picture. Need help with this. Okay.
Yeah, so he's finally went to his dad about this, but the prosecutor's been blackmailing him with something about a Tiffany girl at a lake. So I don't know if he's killed somebody and hit it, or if
he's done something else to this girl. And whatever he's done is something that he's being blackmailed for. Oh, God, I can't talk. Anyway. So moving on to other revelations, at the end of the first episode, Annalise takes the kids out to a club and goes dancing with them and has on this weird, like, Chinese haircut style wig. But, and the apron dress,
it was all bad.
Everything about it wasn't good. Bad. And her weird, like, holding Wes's chest. But anyway, after that, we see it flash forward to 2 months later in classic How to Get Away with Murder fashion. And Annalise is laying on this floor in the Hapsdale house, which is the case that they're working on for this season. She is laying on the floor after being shot, apparently, and hyperventilating and seeming like she's going to die. So, we would like to find out, this will be our main story arc, who shot Annalise this season. So, who do you think did it, or do you have any opinions on who did it this far?
I'm not sure. I feel like she... It also shows in the same scene the prosecutor laying at the end of the steps.
Yeah, that comes in the second episode, correct?
Yeah. Yeah, it did. So we know that she has entered the house somehow, and the adopted kids, their names are Caleb and
I don't know what the girl's name is. Catherine. Oh, Catherine. So,
I mean, they could have a part in it, but at the same time, Annalise seems to always be one step ahead of the game, so I wouldn't be surprised if she shot herself or had someone do it after maybe the prosecutor died and she needed to cover it up to make it obvious that that lady hadn't come there with all this knowledge on maybe the previous murder that had happened to Sam or Lila or to Rebecca.
Well, maybe she came with all of it, and then Annalise was just like, oh, bitch, you're not going to get me this time.
No.
You're going to die, and I'm going to die.
That prosecutor seemed very bent out on taking her down to a point that no other character on the show has been to. Like, it seemed that was her main focus was...
Of her life.
Of not even to get Nate... convicted. It was mainly just to interrogate Annalise in front of a bunch of witnesses.
So do you think we'll see the reason why this prosecutor is so hell-bent on getting Annalise eventually?
Yeah, I think that there's something to do with that, but also how is she so familiar with Asher's problems? Could it be something that it's never said if he's known her from his past life? And maybe she's someone he treated like shit, and she's out to get him and knows he's working for Annalise, and now is caught on to that. Because she knew an awful lot about him pretty quick, but it could just be because of his dad's position.
Yeah. But how else would she know about this Tiffany girl? Maybe she was related to this girl or something right, of that nature. Yeah,
maybe she's Tiffany's sister or cousin or friend. Mom.
So, the other big mystery of this season, which has kind of been revealed now, who was Eggs 911? Well, we are introduced to this character that, what is his name? Is it Rory? Okay, whatever. Some guy, he pops up after Michaela texts the number that Rebecca texts from her phone saying Eggs 911. And he pops up with Michaela while she's at this bar. And then we flash and see that he is a guy, that is in a picture with Rebecca outside of her apartment when they're cleaning it out.
He admits to Wes that he was the one that was texting Michaela, and they meet outside of Michaela's apartment building.
Yes. So we're able to figure out pretty quickly, more quickly than I thought, that who Eggs 911 was, and it actually was Rebecca instead of it being the brother.
But well, it is her foster brother.
Yep. So we've solved that mystery, but they seem to be in cahoots with each other to basically figure out what happened to Rebecca, but then, well, I'll get into that later.
He lies.
He
tells Wes, you know, they agreed to leave it alone, Michaela out of it, but it shows at the end of the episode him hooking up with her in her apartment.
Yep. So, we'll see what that develops into. And is he really her foster brother or is he someone else? Who knows? But, one thing that I did want to discuss, is basically with Connor, and Oliver. Connor, as we know, him and Oliver tested for HIV last season, and it ended up that Oliver was HIV positive, and Connor ended up being HIV negative. So, in the second episode of this season, we ended up hearing Oliver's story as to how he contracted HIV. He said that after Connor cheated on him, that he was just so distraught and so heartbroken that he had to go out and cheat on Connor himself, and that that one night stand was the reason that he contracted HIV. Now, my question for you, Kyle, is did you buy that story, or do you think there's something more to it?
I think there has to be something more to it just because of the attention that they gave it when he said that he was going to tell him, basically, that it was going to hurt him, the answer to how he contracted it. So I think there's more to it than a one-night stand.
Do you think that he had it before they even started their relationship?
I mean, that would be, I guess, it would be painful for Connor to hear, because right now Connor thinks it's all his fault, so he's doing all this changing. But I think it's mainly because he feels like this guilt about it. But if it was something that he had already known before and didn't tell him, then, or that he had already contracted before and didn't tell him, then yeah, I think that would be painful for Connor to hear. But I also think that, like we have talked about, that it could be that Connor, when he came and, you know, he said to him that he had done drugs and he had fallen down this hole after they had murdered Sam, that maybe Oliver listened to that and went and did drugs after Connor cheated on him and he contracted it from doing drugs.
Maybe. We'll see, but I really don't buy that story. I don't believe that just randomly from a one-night stand that you're going to contract HIV just from one time.
If they follow that storyline, you know, it's really going to be sad for Michaela, too, the way that they've, you know, said that now that she's a virgin. So you find out she hasn't had sex with anyone, and she's about to have sex with this guy who his only intention is to find out about his foster sister. So I think that's pretty sad. Like, now they've had one person who the character for Oliver, they made to seem out to be quite innocent and not be a risque type person, and then can get HIV. I'm sorry, in this amount of time, and then now have her lose her virginity to someone who doesn't even seem interested in her.
Yeah, it seems like they're doing too much with these innocent characters. I agree. That would be pretty fucked up for them to do. So the next topic I want to discuss is something that I really feel strongly about. But I really do think that they're making it out to seem like this, or that it's really the case and we're going to figure that out. But I think that Annalise is Wes's mother. And the reason that I think that is, not only did he randomly get into this school after being on the wait list, which anyone who's ever gone to a school knows that once you're on the wait list, it's pretty much done that you're not going to get into that school unless something happens, depending on where you are on the wait list. But she seems to care a lot more about his well-being than any of the other students. And a lot of people have made the argument that it's because he's black. But we have another black student in Michaela. So why doesn't she care for Michaela just as much?
Yeah, there's some kind of tension there between them. And I feel like it's such a sexual show. If there was a sexual tension, they would have easily just went there already. So exactly. Why not it be some kind of maternal instinct? Even if he's not her child, there's something there with her storyline or background that she has this maternal instinct for him. I don't know what it is. If she is his mom or that's just there.
I just really think there's something more between the connection of them, and I don't think it's something as superficial as them having this sexual tension. I feel like it's something more planned and more devious than, well, not devious, I would say, but more personal of a connection than just, oh, I'm sexually attracted to you. Because there's been several times that he needs to be manipulated into something, so why would she use that to manipulate him?
Yeah, how do you think he's going to feel when he finds out the truth about Rebecca?
I feel like he already knows that she's not alive.
I feel like he it made it seem like he realized it after he talked to Eggs.
Yeah, but what if he knew initially and he was the one that moved the body?
Yeah, I mean, somebody moved it. It hasn't shown. But somebody was
Asher even there that night?
He was there that day when they were holding her.
But I just...
Right?
Because
that was a client. It wasn't so much like that he yeah, knew not what was...
like Sam.
Yeah.
I think he was there, but, you know, I wouldn't be surprised if it was actually Wes that moved the body and he knew the whole time. Or who's to say that it wasn't Nate that moved the body and that's the reason that they're in cahoots, like, yeah. And they think that Annalise was the one that killed Rebecca because she hasn't revealed to them that it was actually Bonnie that killed the girl. So maybe that's the reason why they're in connection with each other. Is that because at one point wasn't Nate working with Rebecca?
Yeah, he so, was. That's why the whole Sam thing happened.
Exactly. So what would be the difference if she turned up dead and then they started working together? Because I don't even know how that relationship would come about without that Carmen thread. But I don't know how he would get into the house to actually move the body. Or if Wes just discovered it and then he texts Nate and is like, I want to take Annalise down. So that could be it, or it could be Asher. But I feel like I'm starting to feel like the Asher thing would be too obvious.
Yeah, now that they've introduced this other Asher storyline, that might just be his ticket into some kind of guilt or murder in his past so he could be more understanding. Because I think eventually he is going to have to find out about what's been going on.
Mm-hmm.
Because he's been too clued out and too much involved for it not to eventually come up.
But one thing that's crazy about it is that, once again, he's not there when they find Annalise shot or whatever, when it shows the other students, he's still not there.
Right. Or so, is he? We don't know.
We don't know, but he's definitely not he's there not been caring shown. For Annalise. But would it not be correct that he would want the prosecutor dead and then maybe for some reason want Annalise dead as well? Because he would definitely want that prosecutor dead, I'm sure.
Oh, yeah. But his dad would.
Yeah, exactly. So, one thing that we saw introduced in the first episode is we saw that Annalise had a former lesbian relationship with Eve Rothlow, who is a death row attorney. And this character is portrayed by Famke Janssen. And the thing that I want to ask about the character of Eve Rothlow is, do you trust Eve Rothlow and do you think she's going to be a problem in the long run?
No, at first I didn't trust her because it seemed like she could have been manipulating Annalise, but now that we've seen this third episode, I think the relationship is becoming more playful than it showed at the beginning. Like, obviously she wants her to come back, but she knows who Annalise is. And that she's not going to just come back and move to New York with her like she suggested. I think she knows she's just going to have to keep, like, making it more of a dream for Annalise to achieve than just somebody else wanting her.
Do you think that this is the last time we've seen her, or do you think she'll pop back up?
No, she's going to be back. Okay. There's no question. If they keep highlighting her in every episode, I think, you know, she's...
Yeah, when they showed the previously.
And yeah. Her little emails.
Yep.
She's coming back or she's going to need her at some point. I mean, who's going to take care of her whenever... Annalise is going to need her. Who's going to take care of her when she's... after she's been shot? Because she's not dying.
Well, we know she's not going to die, because what is the show going to end? Because nobody's going to watch it if Viola dies off of the show.
It's not happening.
It's not going to happen. So, the last point that I really wanted to make about the show is, why is Nate still mad? Annalise literally told Eve about what's pretty much been going on and how she framed Nate for Sam's murder and basically manipulated Eve to thinking that that's something she didn't want her to reveal, to actually using that to get Nate off of his case. So I want to know specifically, we see him actually outside of Annalise's apartment, and it's not apartment, excuse me, home and office. We see him just sitting there, like, looking resentful and like he really is plotting some big plan. But I just want to know, what is he really so mad about? Because it's not like he didn't know that Eve was connected to Annalise in some way, because she gave him the number to call. So, and it's not like he's in any danger. And she actually got it set up to where he would have a job. So everything that has happened in his life, besides the fact that his name has been sullied because he's been involved with this murder case, everything has been reestablished for him. So what is his problem to where he still feels the need to be interacting with her and still have some resentment towards her?
I think that he actually does like her.
Oh, I do too.
I guess that's his only thing, because there's nothing else. And I guess when he's sitting there looking out, he sees them kissing and I guess can realize that they've had some kind of relationship. But at the same time, she did get him out of everything she got him into, so...
Which is what she promised.
Yeah.
And the thing is, we see the preview for next week with her actually interacting with his wife who has cancer and her asking Annalise to kill her. So...
And we also see him at the end of this episode.
Yeah.
With Connor and all the group, you know, asking him, what the hell are you doing, when they're hiding from his car after they're running from her being shot, so...
Yep.
He has to have worked with Connor at some point, too.
He was the one that was trying to call her while she was being shot, and he actually comes looking for her. So I think whatever they were doing at the Hapsdale house, they, Annalise or one of them, let him know that's where they would be. But I don't even think it's Annalise. I think it has something to do with Wes at that point.
I think it has something to do with Wes, but if he does know what was going on, could he not be pulling her own trick on him that happened during Sam's murder, and him just know that she couldn't reach the phone and leave this alibi voicemail for himself, desperate, like, what happened, where are you? But he knows already what has happened.
Possibly. But I'll have to see, like, the next episode and see what happens. But I don't see...
I mean, if he's worried about her, then why would he even stop and worry about them? Wouldn't he just... I mean, it seemed like his main focus was to get them in the car.
Well, it just... I think that depends on what his and Wes's relationship develops into. Because whatever happened to Annalise, I'm sure it'll have a lot to do with Wes. So we'll have to see what that develops into. But I actually don't think with him calling her that it was something malicious. I think it was actually out of actually being worried, because if that was the case, he could just call and see what's wrong with her, but he would never have to come. Because if he knew that they were going to shoot or someone was going to be murdered, he wouldn't even want to be there for, like, DNA reasons. So he could stay out of that and still call and still have the alibi to make sure that even if Wes named him as saying, oh, you know, this is someone involved with whatever happens, that he wasn't actually there and that he was caring for Annalise. So I don't think that is what that was about. I think he was actually genuinely concerned, because I think at some point she actually saw that it was him that was calling. So if that was the case, you know, I don't think she would even try to answer.
Well, I mean, yeah, it did seem like she knew. So could that mean it was the opposite of what I'm saying, and that once again she had warned him and they were still out of communication? And
I don't know.
She just let him leave that voicemail to seem like, you know, she was in trouble.
Or maybe he tells her at some point about whatever him and Wes are planning, and that
if he's working in the police office, and he knows what that lady knows.
Maybe. I have no idea. But we'll have to see, because I just don't understand why he would even still be so much concerned with her, besides the fact that he actually likes her, and that I just don't understand why he popped up, or why he would even get involved with that. Because it's definitely not random that he would be driving out there, so he definitely knows about, you know, whatever's going on, but I don't think he was so much looking for them as he was making sure that nothing happened to her. Because it just seemed like he happened to come across them as driving to the house. So, definitely we'll see what goes on, and there's a lot of things that are happening so far. I think this fourth episode will give us a lot of revelation. I really just hope before the mid-season break that they do, like,
catch up.
Before Christmas.
Yeah.
I really hope that we find out who shot Annalise, because I don't want that to go on for the whole season.
Yeah.
So, we'll see. Do you have anything else to say about How to Get Away with Murder?
No, I'm excited for next week, and I'm excited to finally meet Nate's wife.
Yeah, she seems like she's going to have a lot of words for Annalise. So, I guess we'll go ahead and wrap up this episode. Thank you guys for listening to the very first episode of the Massacre Podcast. One thing we do want to definitely encourage for you guys is, you know, we're two people who really like to theorize about these shows. So we really want you guys to ask us questions about the shows and send in your theories. So we have set up an email for you guys to do that, which is massacrepodcast@gmail.com. That's massacrepodcast@gmail.com. So definitely go ahead and send in your comments about the shows and how you feel like the season is going and what direction it's headed. And definitely feel free to ask us questions about any theories that you guys have or any questions you guys have in general. And we'll go ahead and answer them on the show after, you know, we've read over them. I'm not just going to open them on the show and then read them out loud, because y'all have a tendency to send crazy stuff. But we definitely want to open that up and really encourage you guys to theorize with us and really ask us any questions. Do you have any last remarks or anything to say?
No, if you agree or if you disagree, or you, like you said, have your own opinion on any of the plot lines, please let us know. Yeah,
and we definitely want you guys to subscribe. Definitely follow us on SoundCloud or any of the other outlets that we'll be on. If you have any questions, like I said, it doesn't even have to really be about the shows. Just feel free to email us, and I'll try to reply to you guys or answer it on the show. And if I do answer it on the following episode, I'll let you guys know in a reply. So, thank you guys for listening, and bye.